Started here. Tonight we're going to do a topic that came up just last night, actually. I was at a wedding of a very close Talmud, Eli Baruchov, and the wife, Shari, is a Talmida of my wife. My wife is a Kala teacher now, so she took Kala class with my wife. So it was a very big simcha for us. And someone came over to me at the wedding, having nothing to do with what was happening at the wedding itself. Someone asked me the following question. He said, I saw you at a wedding 3 months ago, and I meant to ask you a Shaila then, but you were busy, so I wanted to ask you now. So I said, okay, well, what was the Shaila? Obviously, you could wait 3 months. It wasn't an urgent Shaila. He said, I noticed that the wedding we were at 3 months ago, that Rabbi Willig was a Masadar Kiddushin, and when it came time to say the brachos, and they put the microphone in front of Rabbi Willig's face, he pushed the microphone away and then said the brachos. So I wanted to know, like, is there a reason that he did that? First thing you have to know is there's a reason Rabbi Willig does everything. It's never just I wasn't thinking. You know, that's never the answer with Rabbi Willig. There's always a reason why he did it. But yes, there is a reason why he did it, and that's what we're going to discuss tonight. On a similar note, although maybe different, I got a call a couple of months ago also from a fellow who was running, put together a, I don't know if you call it a program or an idea, and that he ran with for people who have a difficult time getting to shul. Either they live in very far flung communities, or they're not able to transport themselves from one place to the other easily. And his idea was to have them sort of live stream davening into their, you know, through their computers, and that way they can participate in Tefillah B'tzibur. And the fellow called me to ask, like, where can I go to sort of give my idea some teeth to it, and give it some momentum and get it out there, because he said, I think it could be a great help for many, many people. So the question is, aside from whether it could be a great help, but the question is it viable? Meaning, does it accomplish anything? It certainly may accomplish the idea that a person will feel better about themselves. Meaning, someone who's stuck in their home and can't really go anywhere on their own, it's a very difficult position to be in. My father just recently had a detached retina, so he had to have surgery on his eye, and thank God he's okay. But he has to be home for for 2 weeks. He's 1 week into it now, and he has to sit in like this, what looks like a massage chair. I think it really is a massage chair, but it's that, and looking down the whole time. He can't look up. He has to be looking down essentially for 2 weeks. And I was just visiting him today, and how you doing? He is going out of his mind. I mean, it's so hard to be sitting home by yourself for and he's not by himself. He has my mother and visitors and whatever. It's just very hard not to feel like you're a part of something. So certainly the emotional and psychological impact may be very great. Questions: what about the halakhic part of it? Is that tefillah b'tzibur? Are you allowed to answer amen to the brachos? Are you yotzei anything? What if they're blowing shofar? Okay, shofar is always happens in Rosh Hashanah. So what if they're reading the Megillah? Or what if it's shofar during Chodesh Elul? I got a shayla last week. Someone WhatsApped me saying that they missed shofar in shul. Is there any value in going online and hearing the sound of a shofar during Chodesh Elul? Is there any value in doing that? Because anyway, the whole thing's only minug to be Uri Yishena Mishinaschem, so maybe I could accomplish that by hearing the sound of a shofar online. So maybe is hearing like a live stream of something, is that valuable? And this obviously comes up in so many different contexts. It comes up as far as Kriyas HaTorah is concerned. Can you hear it through a microphone or Kriyas HaMegillah? Tefilas HaDerech, very commonly on a bus ride. You know, I was in camp this summer, and there are trips very often in camp. So when the camp takes a trip, they'll have one person say Tefillas HaDerech. If it's a long trip, they'll say Tefillas HaDerech. Often the only way the people in the back of the bus are going to hear the Tefillas HaDerech is if they say it over a microphone. Zimun in a large crowd at a wedding or whatever. Sheva brachos. I was asked once, a number of my talmidim were at a Shabbaton, at an NCSY Shabbaton, and They called me on Motzei Shabbos and they said, we're not sure if we were Yotzei Avdallah. Why not? Because Avdallah was said over a microphone. They did a whole musical Avdallah and a whole thing. We're not sure if we're Yotzei Avdallah. So that's the Shaila. Are you Yotzei Avdallah? In Camp Keli, they also do a musical Avdallah. They do a whole song and whatever. And they sing the Psukim, Mine Keli Shuasi, and they have a microphone. And then, when it comes to the Brachos, they put away the microphone, meaning the person saying Avdallah, there's no music and there's no microphone for the Brachos. But for the Hine Keli Shuasi, you can do whatever you want. It's singing, it's nice, it's extra Psukim. But they try to be pretty mocked about it. Even considering that, in my kollel, in Camp Keli, in my Beis Medrash, we had our own separate Avdallah, just because we daven Marv separate from the camp. And one of the members of the Chinuch staff always caught Avdallah with us, because he was very suspicious of this whole strange Avdallah that was going on with the rest of the camp. He didn't make him very comfortable. So he used to come to us for Havdalah. So the question is, can you be Yotzei Havdalah that way? Is there anything wrong with Havdalah through a microphone? And, you know, it's not the kind of thing where you could just say, okay, be Machmir. Because if you're going to be Machmir, this is true of Chumras in general, a Chumra on one side will often lead to a Kula. You got to figure out what the Kula is going to be when you're Machmir. So you're going to be Machmir, you're going to say, okay, I wasn't Yotzei Havdalah. So what are you going to do? Say Havdalah again. Bracha Levatala. Right? Meaning if you were Yotzei Avdallah, then it's going to be a Bracha Levatallah. Or, I'll be Machmir, I'll consider it that any sound you hear from a microphone is not a human voice. And therefore, you cannot be Yotzei Shomei Ka'ona. It's not a human voice at all. Ooh, so if I hear a woman singing through a microphone, so then that's okay, because it's not a human voice. Right? Let's assume I'm not going to have hirurim from hearing her sing. Right? It's just this technical issue of kol isha. Right? We would all agree that, I would think, that if, I remember this was a big tumult a little while back on the Yeshiva World or something, that there was a Haredi guy in Israel who had a very feminine singing voice, and he would make CDs and tapes or whatever, and it sounded like a woman singing, and some of the Rabbanim, Paskin, you're not allowed to listen to him sing. It's like the ultimate insult. But, you know, but come on, how could it be that it's a man's voice? It may sound like a woman's voice. So if you're going to have your hurum, okay, so that's its own separate issue. You're not supposed to have your hurum avera. But let's say you're not going to have your hurum. Is that a technical violation of kalisha? Certainly not. So if you're going to say this is not a human voice, l'chora, it's also not a technical violation of kalisha. So you can't just say, let's be machmir, because every chumra has a kula on the other side. Now the challenging part of this is trying to figure out what the sources are for this topic. Because obviously microphones were not something they had in Talmudic times. So where are you going to find the Gemara that talks about this? So it happens to be, I think this is our last shiur before Rosh Hashanah, because the next two Tuesday nights I have chasanas. I'm not going to be able to give shiur. I think the one Tuesday night after, I think, is actually Rosh Hashanah. And then Yom Kippur, and then so it's going to be last Tuesday night shiur in a while, I think. So this is our Rosh Hashanah shiur. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the Chav Zayin and Beis tells us as follows: Hatokei l'toch habar. This is on the top of page Tav Samach Tes. What I gave you is a photocopy of Simon Chav Zayin in Hakono Olam Ochelet Beis, soon to be available. So there's my plug. So in Simon Chav Zayin. Uriel, available for you already, so I have a cover. Okay, but in Simon Chav Zayin, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Zayin tells us Hatokel l'toch habor. If a person blows shofar into a bar, l'toch hadus, l'toch hafites, he blows into something that creates an echo, you know, into some sort of chamber. Im kol shofar shama yotza. If what you hear is the sound of the shofar, you're yotze. The im kol havara shama lo yotza. But if what you hear is the echo and not the kol shofar itself, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. So very clear that you have to hear the actual sound. You can't hear an echo of the sound. So you have that gemara alone. We know kol avar is no good. Echo, no good. What's a microphone? Is that more like kol shofar or is that more like kol havara? Now you could argue it three ways. Right, there are three ways you could argue. You could argue that a microphone is exactly kol havara, that kol havara is a sound that emanates from the sound, but it's not the sound, and therefore, at least with shofar, you're not yotzei. And the truth is, one element that we should discuss is the answer by shofar necessarily going to be the same answer by Megillah and by Brachos, and by, or maybe the shofar have its own unique characteristics or requirements to it that maybe make shofar different than anything else. But at least within the world of shofar, one way to approach it is that kol havara is exactly what a microphone or a telephone is. Or maybe you could argue that a microphone is worse than kol havara. And even if there are mitzvos that you could be yotzei with kol havara, which shofar is not one of them, but even if there are mitzvos that you could be yotzei with kol havara, maybe your microphone is worse. Why? Because kol havara is at least a mixture of different sounds, including the actual sound you're looking for. It's that you're hearing the echo, which is a combination of multiple sounds. It's the original sound plus the echo sound. Whereas when you're hearing it from a microphone, you're only hearing the sounds of the speakers. You're not hearing the actual person talking at all. Let's assume you're out of range of the person talking. So you're only hearing the speakers. So it may be worse on a microphone. It could also be that kol havara is worse than a microphone, that a microphone is better than kol havara. Why? Because kol havara is not a single strong sound. It's a mixture of sounds. A microphone is at least one solid, strong sound that you're hearing. It doesn't sound like faded. It doesn't sound... The whole point of a microphone is that it should feel strong. So the closest Gemara we have is that Gemara Rosh Hashanah. But it's not exact. It's not like a slam dunk that, you know, oh, once we have that Gemara Rosh Hashanah, now I know everything I need to know. So obviously, you're not going to find much discussion in the Rishonim about microphones. But Achronim, as soon as a microphone was invented almost, Achronim already started to discuss microphones. In the Tshuvas Halachos Ketanos, the Halachos Ketanos was a Tshuva Sefer written 350 years ago. So they didn't have microphones yet. In the Tshuvas Halachos Ketanos, he discusses what the difference is, odd discussion a little bit, between a kol havara and a bas kol. Gemara talks about a bas kol. So now, bas kol could mean a couple of things in different places in Shas. The most commonly referenced bas kol is some sort of heavenly voice that emanates from nowhere, nowhere that we can, there's no logical, rational place that it's coming from. But another type of bas kol is like a secondary kol. Like there's a, you know where it's coming from, it's just that it's creating this secondary call, which is very similar to an echo. So what's the difference between a kol havara and a bas kol? And he says a bas kol is that you're only hearing the secondary call, and that you would never be yotze with. Whereas a kol havara is something that's not totally detached from the original call. The original call is there plus the echo. Where the bas kol is something totally detached from the original kol. That's what the Tshuvos Halachos Ketanos says, making no mention of a microphone, obviously, because he wrote it 350 years ago. Comes along the editor of the Sefer, of the Tshuvos Halachos Ketanos, and he writes a little footnote in the Halachos Ketanos. He writes, Lefizeh lo yatza im shama tkiya shofar o Megillah al yidei phonograph v'telephone. Says, from this Halachos Ketanos, we have a clear raya that you can't be yotzei Megillah or shofar from a telephone or a phonograph. Why? Because he's assuming that it is totally detached from the original kol, and therefore you're not yotzei at all. That's what it seems to be saying, that if you hear a clear sound without any mixture of any other sound, but it's not the same call that you started with, it's not the original call, and there's something sort of severing the connection to the person who's producing the call, you're not yotze. Says Rav Asher Weiss in a tshuva about microphones, I have no idea what any of this is about or how this is a raya at all to microphones. He says, Lo yadati klal b'meha medubar u'mazeh habaskol alza. I don't know what kind of baskol he's talking about. Dimitzad echad hivchin ben kol avara labaskol ach lo pirish tiva u'mahusa shal habaskol. Meaning, he says, you know what the difference between a kol avara and a baskol is? A kol avara is totally detached from the original sound. The way to finish that sentence is, and the bas kol is, but he never finished the sentence. He didn't even say what a bas kol is. He just said what a kol havara is. So says Rav Asher Weiss, v'chi mishum sh'ashomea omid b'merech agara? Well, because you're hearing something from a far away, from a distance, that makes it that you didn't really hear it? Do we ever find in the halachas of Shomei HaKohen that distance matters? So he says, since I don't know what kind of baskol we're talking about, I don't know how to make sense of this. I don't know how to use this halachas katanos as any sort of raya in our sugya, because I don't even know what chilik he's making. However, in the footnote to a different sefer, there's some clarity that's offered. Ratzi Pesach Frank was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim in his time, the Gedolei Yerushalayim. They would all go to him with their shaylas and say, the Chabina Rav, you know, when he lived in Yerushalayim, I was just reading a biography of the Chabina Rav, when he lived in Yerushalayim, he didn't want to paskal shaylas. He said, I'm not a Rav anymore. And Chabina was a Rav. Now I'm just a guy who learns, you know, I'm not a Rav anymore. See, he was a very interesting genius, the Chabina Rav. When he was younger, he wasn't a Rav at all. He worked in the coal industry. He was like a wholesaler of coal. And then I think after World War I, his business took a major hit because he was stuck with stockpiles of coal and the military didn't need it anymore. And he had to go into Rabbanus because he couldn't make it in business anymore. Even though there was a time he was doing well in business. He attributed it, he went to Rav Meir Arik once for a bracha, and Meir Arik gave him a bracha that his business should fail so that he should go into Rabbanus, which is where he belongs. So he knew then that his business was going to fail. So the Chabina Rav, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, when he was in Yerushalayim, he would always send people to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was the Rav of Yerushalayim. He was the one that you go to for Pesach Halacha. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's Torah on the Moadim is printed in a sefer called Mikrei Kodesh. And in the Mikrei Kodesh on Purim, Simin Yud Aleph, I think one of his grandchildren wrote Ha'aros called Harare Kodesh. So in the Harare Kodesh, he writes that there seems to be a fundamental machlokas achronim. What is a kol havara? Meaning, why? The Gemara says clearly kol havara is no good, right, for shofar. What about it is no good? So he points out that some understand that kol havara means, and this is the way the Taz understands, a kol chalush, a weak kol, a kol that you don't hear so well, and like a kol that you're only hearing from a distance. So when we say you're hearing something from a distance, like you're not hearing it well. It's not something that you could hear in a strong way. But he says, Lanias Daiti, he says, a kol havara is something that's a kol m'urbav. It's a kol that is a mixture of different kolos. And he says that's what the halachos ketanos might be saying, like the first tzad, that it's a distant kol. And other achronim might assume, like the second tzad, that it's a mixture of kolos, that it's not a pure kol. So it turns out that the microphone is probably a machlokas haposkim, whether it qualifies as a kol havara. Right? Because if kol havara means distant and weak, then a microphone is not. The microphone is stronger. It's strong and solid. If a kol havara means that it's a combination of sounds, or it's, you know, some sort of echo chamber or whatever, that's exactly what a microphone is also. Yeah.
Does the distant and weak mean the actual voice as opposed to like an amplified?
No, once it's amplified, so
that's not the real voice anymore.
Right, but it's not. That's a different argument. Meaning, but it's not kol havara either. If the definition of kol havara is a weak sounding thing, as if you're hearing from a distance, so a microphone's not that. No, now you're saying a separate argument. You're saying a separate argument. Microphone's no good anyway because it's not the voice. No, but that's not what he's saying.
Kol havara is defined as a weak sound from the original source.
Well, it's defined as a weak sound, is what he's suggesting. Now, the original source is a separate argument. The second major achron to discuss this issue is in the Gilyone Ashas. The Gilyone Ashas, written by Rav Yosef Engel, a tremendous baki. And in his Sefer on Shas, in Brachas Tav Chafei Amud Beis, he's not sure if you hear, he raises the suffix about shofar or megillah from a telephone, and he writes, a telephone, sheneschadesh b'shanim halalu. There's this great new invention called the telephone. It's going to be big. And it just came out. Can you be Yotze, shofar and megillah? Is that considered shmiah? So he quotes a Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, where the Shvus Yaakov writes that from a different Tshuva, say from Rav David Oppenheim, that you're allowed to speak with with something that that will project your voice for many, many miles, for a great distance, even though the person hearing you is chutz l'tchum, is outside tchum Shabbos. So on Shabbos, it's not a violation of tchum to project your voice beyond the tchum Shabbos. So Rav Yosef Engel says, and what's the hava amina? Right, like, why would you think that you're not allowed to project a voice outside the Tchum Shabbos? The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel says that if your animal is standing outside the Tchum Shabbos, Kori Lavi Hiba, you're allowed to call your animal and have it come to you into the Tchum. And when that goes there, oh no, you might walk out to get it instead. I understand the Havamina over there. The Havamina is, we might think that I can't call the animal to come from outside of the Tchum, because if I'm allowed to bring it in that way from outside of the Tchum, I might walk outside of the Tchum and bring it, and that's a gzera. But what's the Havamina? And that Gemara never said that there's a Havamina that you can't call your animal from outside the Tchum because he's going to hear your voice. Your voice is going outside the Tchum. That's ridiculous. What does that mean? So he says, says Rav Yosef Engel, I remember that when I studied science, that I don't know when, where, what, you know, but he says, I know that Ein hakol atzmo shel medaber hu habo l'shomea. He said the way sound works is that what you hear is not exactly the sound that came out of the person's mouth. It goes through the atmosphere first, and there's something called sound waves. And there's something called the speed of sound, and sometimes there's a delay in sound. Meaning, you know, if we were to really slow things down, all of our conversations, if we could somehow figure out a way to, like, make everything happen slower, all of our conversations would sound like you're talking on a bad cell phone reception to Israel. You know, like, where the conversation's, like, one step off, the guy's answering the question you asked, like, 3 minutes ago, and then, I speak to my son all the time. So, there is a time delay, because it's not really hearing your sound. He says, "Kol medaber marid chelik ha'avir shesomich lo v'chelik zeh l'somich lo." You know, it shakes the airwaves near you, and then that has an effect on the neck. V'chein kaseder, until finally it goes into his ears, and somehow that translates into his brain. So he says, every sound is not the original sound. That's the way sound works. That every sound, even when it's normal speech, you're not hearing the original sound. So he brings a raya that a microphone or a telephone should be perfectly good, because it's just exactly the way sound works, that it's been altered through some atmosphere. What difference does it make whether the atmosphere was the microphone or the atmosphere was the actual atmosphere?
Why is it different than a
kalavar? Why is that different than a kalavar? So you have to say kalavar means something else, a weak sound or something like that, right? So that's what he calls from Shlosh Yaakov. Then Rav Yosef Engel himself says, this is not a good story. He says, "Ein lodun mehashma astam lashma lidei davaracher mamish ketelefon." He says, "No, the way I know scientifically the way sound works, but that's the way sound works. Meaning, you're hearing from that person's voice when you're using some new invention to alter the sound. So that's not darka vitiva. That's not the derech of transmitting sound. That's not the nature of transmitting sound. So it's when it is the derech and the nature, and that's just the way God created the world. Then that's called shmia, and not like a telephone where that's not the derech shmia. That's not a natural way of hearing things." And he says, and hashma b'kol is not considered only a grama. And he brings a raya that Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you are chosem your shor b'kol, the animal, every time it's about to eat, you scream. You know, so you're not allowed to put a muzzle on the animal when it's working, right? It's nisr in the Torah, lo saksim shor b'disho. It's the paradigmatic example of a lo saseim in the Torah, that you're not allowed to muzzle an animal, right? So let's say you're chosem b'kol. Every time the animal's about to eat, you just scream, and so it gets startled and it doesn't eat. So Rabbi Yochanan holds, chasima b'kol is a maisa. That would be a lav sheish b'maisa, you get malchus on it, right? So apparently it's not a grumma, it's not considered indirect. So hearing a sound is a direct... Rav Asher Weiss quotes all this, and he says, he writes that what's considered a maisa, what's considered a grumma, has nothing to do with the scientific explanation of how sound works, of how sound gets transmitted. He says, you know, speaking, he said, the act of one human being speaking to another human being is the most natural and direct act in the world. Don't start coming with scientific explanations why it might only be a grumma. So the whole conversation is ridiculous. Meaning, grumma is defined by the way we perceive things. And if you perceive one person talking to another person, that's a direct conversation. That's not a grumma because I happen to know how sound gets transmitted through the atmosphere. That doesn't make it a grumma. So Rav Asher Weiss doesn't think either of these discussions are particularly compelling. Either of these discussions in early Akron. What it comes down to is contemporary poskim and how they dealt with telephones, microphones, etc. And normally, over this type of issue, a consensus gets built. And even if, like, let's say with electricity on Shabbos or Yom Tov or whatever. So, you know, there were, in the early days, there were those who had a different view than what ultimately became the consensus. You know, about using electricity. And Yom Tov certainly, and you know, there certainly was a different view. Over the years, the consensus was built, and that view has been outvoted. Right? There aren't really very many Aruch HaShulchan Jews when it comes to electricity on Yom Tov anymore. Like, it's sort of been outvoted. The problem is, sometimes you have a consensus of a large majority, and then you have the biggest poskim in the world on the other side. So, like, now what do you do? Like, what happens if you have all the poskim say one thing, not all, but, you know, a good majority, and then on the other side, you have Rav Moshe Feinstein in America and the Chazon Ish in Eretz Yisrael. So, like, who wins? Right? So that's what we're faced with over here. The Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe both held that you could be Yotze things through a microphone. Strictly speaking, they didn't love the idea of changing the way we do things, but strictly speaking, you could be able to say things through a microphone. Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was against it, writes in Tshuvas Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Siman Tes, he records his whole argument against, and then he writes in a footnote, La'achar shekvar nidfas maimer zeh, after I already published this maimer, nizdamin li ledaber maran bala Chazon Ish Tzatzal. I had the opportunity to speak with Chazon Ish. You have to realize, Rav Shlomo Zalman was the greatest expert in halacha and electricity. There was no one who knew more. That's really how he put his name on the map. People didn't know who he was. He was a kid. He was like 20 years old, and he published a sefer called, what was it called, Ma'orior, Ma'oriyesh, something like that. I forgot. He published some Amudeh. I forgot already. I quoted here somewhere. But Ma'oriyesh, yeah. And he has a sefer called Ma'oriyesh, and the Gedolei Yerushalayim read it, and they, who is this guy? This is... He was like a 20-year-old kid. He was a 19-20-year-old kid. They realized this is someone who has a future. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that after he published the Maimer, he met the Chazon Ish. Va'amarli, and the Chazon Ish said to me, Sheledaito ein ze kol kach pashut. That this is not so obvious, not so simple. V'yitachein, dekiven shakol ha-nishma notzva lidei ha-medaber, v'gam ha-kol nishma miyad kiderech ha-medaberin. Since when you hear something through a microphone, you hear something through a telephone, you hear something through a hearing aid, it's direct and immediate. Efshar, dekam ze chashu kishomei ha-mamish p'yam medaber ha-tokeh. It could be that that's called that you're hearing it directly from them. Ukmedumali, Shetzichim lomer lefize. I'm on page Tav Ayin Beis in the block quote. Shetzichim lomer lefize. Demasha amru begemara im kolavara shama lo yatsa. Hainu mepresha kolavara nishma ktsas li achar kola adam. Mashen kein betelephone vramkol. Kolavara is about a delay. Telephone, microphone, no perceivable delay. Delay, yes, but not something that you can perceive. I don't understand what the Chazon Ish is talking about, but I just thought his objection has to be noted. That the Chazon Ish thought that because it's immediate, it might be considered an actual cult. It's not just the Chazon Ish, as we mentioned before, Rav Moshe Feinstein as well. And he says the comparison between Kalavara and a microphone is an absolute mistake. Kalavara is something that weakens the sound. It's not as clear. Microphone is something that strengthens the sound, and it's even more clear. He says, the better argument to make is what Aurel said before, is that It's not a real kol though. It's not the kol. It's not the kol of the bar chiyuva. I have to hear shofar from someone who's a bar chiyuva, from someone who's a human being blowing shofar. If you could train a monkey to blow shofar, I'm not yotzei. If you could have some sort of machine set up that blows air into a shofar, I'm not yotzei. So this is not coming from says Rav Moshe in page Shofar and Gimel. He made the didi misaf ketuva. Even if what these scientists tell you is correct, that even in normal conversation, you're not actually hearing the initial sound, the original sound. Very interesting how he writes about that, as if it's not like guaranteed that that's true. You know, but even if. And who knows how Shmia works, how hearing things works. Maybe it's also because something is created in the atmosphere. And that's what the scientists tell me, that it's because of the atmosphere. He says further, but still we count it as the voice of a person. So he says, maybe you can say the same thing by a microphone. As long as it's simultaneous, you're hearing it at the same time. So maybe we can say the same thing. Now, in the end, Rav Moshe writes, I put in the footnote of here, in footnote 3, that even though he believes that it should be mutter, since it's not such a clear heter, and it's an inyan chadash, you know, maybe we should stop people from doing this, because a lot of the drive for to start using microphones in the synagogue was not coming from pure l'shem shemayim motivations. It was coming because people wanted to change things. People wanted to modernize. They wanted to modernize everything. They wanted to change the religion entirely. So Moshe says, I'm not so not so interested in encouraging this, but Meikra Din, he thought it would be mutter. Rav Sternbach in his Sefer Mladim Uzmanim, after quoting Rav Moshe, says it's Sarachi in Tuva. He says I don't know where he got this chiddush pella from, that you yotze b'kol acher mipnei shedome l'kol, that you could be yotze with a different voice because it feels like or sounds like or seems like the real voice. He says, "Ulechara l'svaras, ulechara afilu shomim k'shemedaber b'radio, havelon l'marshi yotzei." You should be able to hear on the radio and also be yotzei. So obviously, Rav Moshe would say that it has to be something that looks and feels like you're actually talking to someone. So if I'm hearing a pre-recorded message on the radio, there's no one really talking to me. So that would not be good enough. There is a third major gadol who seems to side this way as well, and that is Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer. So who is Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer? Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer wrote a tshuva sefer called Shas Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi. He was the Rosh Yeshiva after Rav Meir Shapira in Chachmei Lublin. He was a great, great gadol. He was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. Absolute, absolute genius. So in the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, he writes very similar to what Rav Moshe says. Shari kol avara eno kol adam klal, ra kol zar, shayit hamir v'nechva. He says that the kol avara doesn't sound like a human voice. It doesn't feel like you're hearing direct human voice. But a kol telephone or a kol microphone sounds like human voice. And then, to be matim the svar a little bit more, Rav Asher Weiss suggests, in his unique way of saying things, the following on page Tafay and Dalit, toward the bottom half of the page. Vanir Lanias Daiti Bo Omek Advar Malpi is so Gadol Mukhudosh Begeder Shomea Kona Shakzati Minchasosher, but Midbar Sosu Min Yogimel. He says, I have to tell you what Shomea Kona really means, in my opinion. And it's different than the way most understand. Do you so Gedder Zah Inu Behilch Sagredish Vichatora? Fascinating idea, he says. Shomea Ka'ona is not a halacha. Shomea Ka'ona, that when you hear something, it's as if you said it, and that's why I can hear Kiddush, and it's as if I said Kiddush. That's not a halacha. It's a reality. It's a metzius. It's a fact. That's the way speech works. He says, I speak so that I can be heard. If no one is going to hear me, then there's no point in speaking. Right? A person who talks to himself all day is viewed as a crazy person. Right? When you speak so that you can be heard, that's the way speech works. And he says, That's what Shomei HaKonah B'Kol Mokom. He has a fascinating writing. He says, where do we know Shomei HaKonah from? Pasuk B'Melachim Beis, Perachav Beis. Es kol divrei ha-sefer asher kara melech Yehuda. V'chi Yoshiyahu karan v'lo shafan karan, the Gemara in Sukkah says. How could it say that the Melech Yehuda read the Psukim? It was not Yoshiyahu. Elamikan, the Shomei HaKonah B'Kol Mokom. No, so you see, Shomei HaKonah B'Kol Mokom. The reading over there was not a mitzvah. It wasn't talking about fulfilling a mitzvah. It was just a kriya. And it's just the fact that the Navi calls it korei when he only heard it. So you see, Shomei HaKonah says, Rosh Rai, so meduyuk. Bekal makom. Doesn't say bekal halacha, bekal din, bekal mitzvah. Bekal makom. Shomea is Kona. That's a mitzvah of life. So says Rav Asher, v'kiven dasin alahachi. Once I arrive at that conclusion, it's a mitzvah sachayim. Yesh makom lomer l'gabi kol machshir menal. All of these devices. The afshe b'vchinas hamada chen enze kol ha'adam. Yeah, it may not be an actual human voice, but mikol makom kimishar kol domil chalut in the kol medaber vumi adi. Since it sounds just like a human voice and it's immediate. Unlike a recording, and you can't tell the difference in that in a regular voice. Then we would say a Shomei HaKonah over there as well, because it's a metzius that when there is a voice that is that seems like a voice, so that's it. So that's a voice. That's Shomei HaKonah. Okay. At the end, meaning I get the first part, but I don't think the first part compels you to say the second part. You know, the idea that Shomei HaKonah is a metzius doesn't necessarily mean that hearing a non-human voice that seems human, right? You know, Alexa talks to you. So is that, you know, is that also okay? Alexa, read the Megillah. You know, like is that going to work as well? You know. So I don't know about that. That seems a little bit far fetched. I just saw tonight someone sent me a thing that a guy wakes up in the middle of the night and he says, "I want to sell my chametz," and then he realizes it's Shabbos, so he falls back asleep. He goes back to sleep and I'll take care of it after Shabbos, and then he forgets to take care of it after Shabbos. But Alexa heard that he wanted to sell his chametz. I looked up the document from last year and who he sold it to last year and arranged an entire transaction. So, can he eat his chametz after Pesach? Okay, so maybe a shalosh or something. So that's the shita of the Mekilim. Rav Moshe, Chaz Nish, the Kazhuk Lover, Rav Asher Weiss. On the other side, Rav Shlomo Zalman is the Rosh HaMedabrim again in this area. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he goes through a lengthy description of how it works. I included in footnote 4 over here if anyone is scientifically inclined and wants to try to understand how Rav Shlomo Zalman explains microphones. Rav Shachter cautioned when studying the Sugya to study the most recent the most recent technology, because it may change over time, you know, the way things work. But Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, Acher kalati ura amr la'el. After I explain the whole way it works, Nira shah shomea kol shofar, mikro megalei, the telephone or ramkol, lo yotze klal yidei chavos. You're not yotze at all. Because it's only when it's done in an ofen yashar, al yidei kol ha-shofar, that goes through the normal environment that you're gonna be yotze. So the fact that scientifically it's compared to, you know, it also has to go through some environment. It doesn't matter. It's not the normal way. The ikr svar to be machmir by the microphone is that you're not hearing the kol hamashmiya. You're hearing some other voice that was created by the person who is also using his voice. But you're not hearing his voice. You're hearing something else. And in fact, the Minchas Yitzchak quotes from Rav Hankin and Sefer Edus Yisrael, that also hearing through some electronic sound is not, it's like a kol havara. You're not yotze yechiyuv of kriyas haTorah, tkiyas shofar, megillah, anything. And you're not yotze with a microphone. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you know what it's like? This is an interesting comparison also. I never would have said this. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that there's a Beis Yosef in Simen Nun Hei Sitchath. Beis Yosef writes, let's say you hear Kaddish in a room. So there's someone at that end of the room saying Kaddish, and you're hearing it over here. And in between is a makom matunaf. There's dirty diapers in between. Some dirty place. There's a bathroom in between. So since there's something that's mafsik between the mevarich and the shamea, says the Beis Yosef, you can't be yotze. That breaks, even though you're actually hearing it. You are hearing it. But you can't be yotze because it has to. It has to be direct. It has to go to you through an area that you're allowed to have heard it. That sound is allowed to be used as a sound of mitzvah throughout that whole area. So the Shulchan Aruch kal v'chomer with a microphone, where it's an entirely different sound, and it's entirely, it's as if there's a, it's worse than having a space, a zone in between that's an ineligible zone for the mitzvah. And then he says, you know what a microphone is most similar to in Shas? We have the wrong Gemara, he says. Kalavar is not the right Gemara to use. The real Gemara is the Gemara at the end of Sukkah. The Gemara at the end of Sukkah discusses Beis Knesset Shel Alexandria. They had this massive shul. They had Kiflaim Kiyotze Mitzrayim, which were 1.2 million people davening in the shul. No matter how tall you build a building, right? You can imagine Kiflaim Kiyotze Mitzrayim. And the way they would get people to answer Amen is they would wave flags to let everyone know when to answer Amen. So can you be Yotze, Shomea Ka'ona, by seeing a flag? Nah, no way, right? Because you weren't Shomea anything. So Shlomo Zalman said, that's really the exact parallel. In Mishnah Alachos, Rabbi Menashe Klein is also Machmir, says, you're not Yotze with the telephone. And he says, you know what it's like? It's like someone who knows how to sing really, really well, and knows how to play an instrument. He's singing. Someone else comes and mimics the first guy. So you didn't hear the first guy. Meaning, you just because you heard someone mimicking, you hear a cover band of the Beatles. Oh, I heard the Beatles last night. It was fantastic. No, you didn't hear the Beatles. You heard some guys that were pretending to be the Beatles. That's what a microphone is. A microphone is just doing an imitation. Obviously, that comparison is not a rock-solid comparison, because the cover band could decide to play, Billy Joel instead. You know, they could decide not to do, but the microphone can't decide. The microphone can't say, I'm not amplifying those words. That's it. You know, it can't make that decision. But it's important to mention the Kalisha ramifications of this. So Rabbi Menashe Klein, Moshe Sternbach, Milchas Yitzchak, they all say, you could hear a woman singing on the microphone. If you have no hirurim, if you're confident that you have no hirurim, I would doubt it. I'm not sure. Maybe they're not absolutely confident, and you have to be machmir in both directions. Rav Debitzin Rav in the Chuvas Ber Moshe, someone said he took a neder, that he got so angry at someone, took a neder, I'm never going to speak to that guy again. And then he really needed to speak to him. So he asked the Debitzin Rav, can I call him on the phone? Because I'm only going to hear him through the phone. So maybe it's not a din shmia, so I'm not really speaking to him, and he's only hearing me on the phone. So that's a non-starter, because when by Nidarim, the rule of that governs all Nidarim is, B'Nidarim Holch Nachar Lashem Re'adam. We always follow Lashem Re'adam. And when people say, I'm never going to speak to someone, they mean, I'm not going to speak to him on the phone, I'm not going to, WhatsApp, it means you're not going to speak to him. You're not going to, so he said, that's clear. But then he says that it's a Dover Pashut, that a voice through a telephone is not considered your voice at all. And the poskim that hold that you're able to be yotze mitzvos through a telephone clearly don't understand the technology, and you can't even answer amen on a bracha that you hear through a telephone. I know Mariv Rabbi Shachter disagrees with that. He thinks you can answer amen on a bracha. You're not allowed to answer amen if they're... Right, well... Right. According to Shlomo Zalman, Svara Lechora would turn out that you're not even allowed to answer Amen. I asked Rabbi Willig about this, why it is that he pushes away the microphone. He says he thinks that they're correct. The poskim that say that you're not Yotze that way. So I said, strongly, one of the poskim says, it could be, I have it toward the end of the piece we're not going to get to, that it's that it could, I think Rosh Shumbach says, that if the brachos at the wedding were made over a microphone, it's a violation of Kalablo Bracha Asura Labayla Kenida. Whoa, right? And they always use microphones. Rabbi Willick doesn't. Rabbi Willick said, I project my voice loudly enough, it's fine. I'm not. But he's being machmir for this shita. I said, you're always insisting. He said, look, when I was younger, I would try, and then if they push it back in my face, so what can I do? So I did. But now I'm the oldest person under the chuppah. What are they going to do? They're going to fight with me? You know, like once he reaches a certain stage in life, he felt like he gets to call the shots. But okay, we didn't get to the issue of what about some mitzvahs versus other mitzvahs. But there's more to discuss, maybe for a different time.